Everybody wants to follow Mr. and Miss Bobby up. Bobby and Amy.
Therrell.
We will go to Children's Church. Hello, Miss Peyton. Good morning. Set your clocks. You know, as those other pastors say, we'll go over, but I'm not going to deprive anyone in this room here of taking my wife and our seven kids to lunch today, so we will be done by noon. So you want to start praying about it, go ahead and pray about it. We're pretty cheap. We like T-bone, you know? Yeah. I'm just kidding. Anybody in here have problems? Anybody here have issues? Let's bring it home. Daily issues. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1 and chapter 4 there. So I'm going to be jumping around, so you probably just want to listen, or I'll give you a corporal tunnel. You go to chapter 1, Paul was talking to the church of Corinth about the trip of him and Timothy. He was showing gratitude for God's goodness among the troubles they had run into. And he goes and he says here, "For we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning our affliction, concerning our problems, which befell upon us in Asia, that we would be weighed down exceedingly beyond our power in so much that we despaired even of life." Chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, he says, "We were pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not undespair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of a dying Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body." Brother Mike Hartman, would you lift us up? Would you please? Thank you, Brother Mike. Understand, this is the gratitude section. Paul wasn't saying it's something I've done. My experiences got me through it. It got Timothy through it. He says, none of this was possible without God. All glory to God. God did it. It was nothing we could do. But how many times in life, and I want to challenge you to think today, do you think that you can fix your own problems? Why you wear the banner of being God's child? That you can fix your own problems and your own concerns. This month's been blowing our minds. We've seen devastation from floods. Never thought I'd see a large swimming pool sitting in front of Sir Dyke Harley. Didn't think I'd see a 53-foot trailer sitting in the middle. Loss of lives from small creeks to unmoral law changes by 8 folks in black robes that weren't elected by any of us Americans. They were appointed. Does God have your attention? Does He have your attention? What's happening around you? He's got my attention. He's got my attention. I've heard some say there's nothing we can do. Yes, we can. What can we do as Christians? Pray. Pray about it. Pray about it. You think God woke up, said, I didn't see that coming? I don't think so. God sees it. God knows it. We can pray. The winds of trouble are nothing new to God's people. Our Bible's filled with many stories. The Hebrew children had their fiery furnace. Daniel had his den of lions. Peter was sent to prison. John was exiled from the island of Patmos. James had his head cut off. David fled from Saul, missing the spear many times. Samson had his eye put out. Psalms 34:19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, problems of the righteous, many. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. All of us that have a relationship with Christ, we're hit with problems daily. We're hit with issues. We're hit with concerns. None of us are exempt, okay? You notice that scripture says one key word, many. For me, many, when I hear many, I go, batten down the hatches, Carl, because it's coming. Okay? It's coming. But I had a wise man tell me one time, he goes, I love it every day that I wake up and I'm going through trials. Because you know why? That means I am not in the pocket of the devil. Because if you're on the devil's team, he don't have to work on you. He don't have to waste no time on you. But if you're a child of God, you're living it, you're acting it, guess what? The devil's going to pound on you every day that he can. Proverbs 24:16, for the righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. They stumble in times of trouble. God is there to pick you up, but the wicked continue to stumble by choice. Okay? As a child of God, when we fail, when we fall, when we stumble, which we will, God is there to pick us up. I have the picture of this beautiful man just handing his arm out to his son to pick him up. But I make that choice to be picked up. And as Christians, we have to make that choice. Do you want a handout? Do you want God to put his hand out to pick you up when you stumble? Because you are going to stumble. Or do we want to make that to continue to stumble? I do not want to walk through my Christian walk or my Christian life like a drunk person, stumbling. I don't. I want to be on solid ground with God the Father. Editor Clyde Gordon says he was completely paralyzed from his neck down. He's editor for a magazine called The Triumph. He says, Christ is no security against the storms. Christ is no security against the storms. But he is perfect security in the storms. He's not any security. He's perfect security in the storms. He says, God does not promise an easy passage, but he does guarantee a safe landing. Okay? Your life, my life, is going to have turbulence. It's going to have turbulence. We're going to have financial problems. We are going to have conflict in the family. We're going to have issues with our children. We are going to have issues with our marriage. We're going to be stressed out about college, about things at church. Clyde says, you know what? God has it. God has it under control. Anybody tell me what's said more times in the Bible than any other? 365 times to be exact. Do not fear. So if God put it in our Bible of 66 books, 365 times ago, do not fear, do you think he was serious? When he says, follow me, I'll take care of you. I'll make you fishers of men. Be bold and courageous, Joshua. I'm with you. I am here for you. I will do it. I love the unconditional love of God. Because when I fail and sin, and I was in my young Christian walk, it would be easy to say, that brother or sister in church, they're getting a whole lot more God's love because I'm not deserving of it. I messed up. They've been in church for 20 years. I've been here 2 years. I know I make a lot more mistakes than they do because they know so much more. Comes down, God has no favorites. Okay? He has no favorites. You can walk your best walk all day, and I can fall 10 times. But when I go back to God, he loves me, and he doesn't love me any less. And he doesn't love you all any more than what he loves me when I come back to him. That's how much he loves us. How much he loves us. Someone else says, the road to success is always under construction. Might be why those that seem to have it hard all the time tend to get more done. There's nothing. God brings you to it. God will see you through it. But how many times do we get there and go, I don't need you. I got this. Roger Lewis needs you. Anybody knows Roger Lewis? He needs you. That's a joke, Roger. Sorry. I go, I don't need you, God. I got this. And then I fall. Then I fail. And it turns out horrible. And then I have to go, why did it mess up? Why did things just go terrible? Because who did I just take out of my life? I just took God out of my life. And then I got the audacity to sit there and go, well, why is life so horrible? Why is it so bad? Why do I have these problems? Why are things happening? Then I have to have that, you know, I won't slap myself, but because I'm old and I don't like to be slapped, but I have that V8 moment and go, ugh. We're so worried about God taking the flag and our other flag and our prayer out of our schools. I challenge you to take a look at your life and see how much God you've taken out of your life. And nobody forced you to do it. How much God have you removed from your life? Church attendance, Sunday school attendance, your morning devotions, reading your Bible. You took all that out yourself. But we're going to worry about these other issues that, and I'm not saying they're not important, but I'm saying, you know what? Let's take care of stuff that we have in our control here. I skip being thankful, gratitude for my dinner, then the next day it's easier. I don't come to church one day. Guess how easy it is to not come the next day? Not come the next day. Somebody else has tithed more. I'll get it next month. It's so easy. Nobody's robbed me of that. I did that myself. I removed all those things from here. But I will have the audacity to go outside and try to battle over people that want to take something else. What's important is your Christian walk and all the variables and all the characters right there in your Christian walk. What battles you picking up? What problems? Self-inflicted in a lot. Here's one for you. Anybody ever feel like a victim? Or you know the victim? You ever say, God, why am I going through this? Why am I getting hit with all this crud? Because I'm going to tell you what, I'm a good husband, good dad. Don't drink, don't smoke no wild stuff. I gave up dancing. I'm good. Don't beat my wife, love my cats, my dogs. I'm good. And by the way, why am I having problems? Because I know 40 people that I can drop a name on you today, 40 names that in my opinion, they deserve it more than I do. I teach Sunday school. I don't deserve no issues or problems, okay? I've been here 16 years at Esther Baptist Church, and I'll be here till you all see me laying here with my feet up. So why do I have these problems? Why could I have these issues? Because nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. Why did I tell you that? Who's handling your problems? How are you handling your problems? If you're handling the problem and God's not handling the problem, that's the problem. I can't fix nothing. I can't fix anything in this world. I can't change anything in this world. But I can pray to God that opens all the doors, opens all the books. He's got a fat eraser on that pen that can go, don't like that decision. He can change everything, absolutely everything. But how many times do we not go to him for that? Fix it ourselves. Like I was telling you, I think there's other people that deserve it, but that's not the case. That's not why God works. We should be praying and lifting everybody up that's knee-deep in it today. There's not one person we should see that wants to be in hurt, going through troubles, issues, concerns, not one single person. We shouldn't. If you have a heart of God, you're a child of God, you should not want that at all. Ask yourselves, what can we learn about this, thus, and ourselves? God promises we'll have an understanding better by and by. I'm going to give you 7 ways today God uses our surge of problems in our lives to direct us. Sometimes God lights a fire under us to get us moving. Anybody have to have a fire lit under them to get them moving? Hang on, Baptist, I'm going to ask you something. How many like change? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm the same way. How about this one? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't change nothing. Don't try to improve something. Don't try to make something better. And I want you to think about these questions. As a Christian, I've always said, God's going to see me through it. God's going to get me through it. God's always going to provide for me. God's going to take care of me. How about this question? Is God trying to tell me something? Is God trying to protect me in a moment? Is he trying to project me in a moment, meaning call me back? Is he trying to lead me in a new direction? And you have been in the ministry for a long time. If you think about it, you're probably not in the ministry now that you were when you became a young Christian. God has moved you to something else. God says, okay, you've been watering the garden. You've been picking a garden. Now it's time to do something else. It's harvest time, but I'm putting you over here. But too many times I just go, I'm having these issues. He's just going to see me through it. I don't carry through to find out, to ask the question, to go, how can I grow from it? How can I learn from this? Sinful world we have deceives us. You don't believe me? How many have had cancer? Anybody here had cancer? Do I see anybody? Bert. Aunt Bert. You had cancer?
I had skin cancer.
Okay. Did it change your outlook after you found out? Like you had a second chance? You went through some serious illness. You ever feel like you had a second chance? Some terrible things happen. You go, thank God, I got a second chance. How about your marriage? How about your children? A close call. You get a second chance. And where I'm going is you tend to go, you know what? I don't give a whole lot about that other stuff. And I really don't care what people think. Okay? I don't want to continue to sin. I want to be a child of God, and I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to live for God. Because you know what? I chase that other stuff, and it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. God gives us a direction. Second one I got, to inspect us. It's been said people are like tea bags. If you don't want to know what's inside of them, drop them in boiling hot water. Drop you in hot water. Take you out of your element. Take you out of the box. Put you somewhere, and if your parents have something, have it to do with something with your children, then you see how people react. Your faith ever been tested? Did it reveal some problems with you? James 1, verses 2 and 3 says, consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance is what keeps you moving forward. Has anybody read in the Bible where it says, talks about run the race? Run the race. Finish the race. Good job, my faithful son. Good job, my faithful daughter. Endurance. How important is endurance? If you don't have it, you're not going to run the race. You're not going to run it. So for me, when I get a problem, I get an issue, and I can sit here and choose, I'll have a pity party. Carl, things are bad. Things aren't going right. My God, they're killing me. I'm having to be on a pastor search committee. I'm having to do this. And I got to go counsel with some people that got issues, and I'm just so deprived of my time, you know? Gosh, I could be doing a lot of Carl things now. But I go, you know what? When I'm getting there, God center, he's filling my endurance tank. Because you know what? I'm going to run the race. I'm where I want to be. I'm here because I want to be. I'm involved because I want to be. I walked up that aisle because I wanted to, and I'm here. Endurance tank's full. Guess who's back in the race, running the race? Guess who's going to finish the race? It's going to be me. It's going to be you. Where's your endurance? Who are you leaning on to be your endurance? I love my friends to death, and I love my wife to death, my mom, my brother, sister-in-law. I'll tell you how pretty my sister-in-law is. All those. Okay? But they don't fill my endurance tank. It's God that fills my endurance tank. God keeps me going. Because as much as they love me, they can't do what God does. They can't do that. Only God. Inspect us. To correct us. Some lessons we learn only through pain and failure. If I remember when they were a kid and you walked by that hot stove, and all the parents said, don't touch it. It's hot. It'll burn you. Anybody besides me touch that stove? Yeah. Yeah. You learn, though. I touched it once. I didn't go back through. If you ever notice, there's a little corridor back here. Somebody had the smart idea years ago to put a big red button up there, and you push it, it rings a bell for the whole church. I can't walk through there. because I'm drawn to a big red button. That's just the disease I have. I just want to push it. And, you know, and then you're there with a bunch of little kids, and the parents come out and go, "Who did it?" "I did." "It wasn't them." "So I can't go that way." You know? But I learned a lesson. Sometimes we only learn the value of something by losing it. Learn the value of losing something. You lost a loved one that you wish you had 2 minutes back to go, "I love you. You're the best mom ever. You're the best dad ever. You're the best friend ever." Okay? I've always said, people say, "I'm going to send flowers." Don't send flowers. Take me out to eat right now. When I'm dead, flowers don't do me no good. Okay? Take me out for a cup of coffee and let's have a relationship now and let's talk. Don't send me flowers when I'm dead. I'm not going to be able to water them. Okay? My wife doesn't need nothing else to do. Okay? Don't send them. Psalms 119:71 says, "It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes, learn your ways." To connect us, when someone dies in the family, loved ones gather far or near for the funeral. They want to band together in trouble. People want to be here. When someone's seriously ill, their friends and family gather in to check on them, take care of them. Trouble not only draws people together, but it also draws them near to the Lord. 9/11, years ago, it's still the most highly populated church attendance on record that following Sunday. People were in church. I mean, it's the truth. And some people go, "That just bothers me." Doesn't bother me. I'm sick, I go to a hospital. I need God, I want to go to a church. And I want those people that want to come to the church and say, "I'm hurting, I need somebody, I want to talk to somebody. Come on in, I've got time for you." We need more of that. David tells in Psalms 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." As you mature in Christ, you're a young Christian. For me, I made some bonehead decisions. I come here Sunday, everything's great. But honestly, truly, I went out and I'd mess up. And finally, I started growing and maturing in Christ with some great mentors, and I realized, I can't do that. That's not a good reflection on God, because we're to be Godlike. We're to be beacon of lights for God. So I can't let anything come out of my mouth that I want. I can't go and be a bad physical witness as I want. And guess what? I'm guilty on Facebook too. You can't come here and then put that trash out there and go, "Well, it's Facebook." You're not exempt. If you put it out there, own it. Own it. If you're in my Sunday school class, I've got it wrote right here, and it's always stuck with me. I was told years ago, this gentleman said, "Son, you're the son of a king. Act like it. You're the son of a king. You're the son of God. You're a child of God. Act like it." I don't have a green light to run around this community and be dumb to God's ways and do what I want and live for God, live for Carl and do what Carl wants. And then go, "Oh, man, it's the human side." No, I don't have that. I do not have that freedom. We do not have that freedom. Many persons called preachers, called church family in times of need. They want to make it right with God. They draw the church. Not uncommon to see families after losing someone a week later to be in church, the whole family. They get bad news from a doctor on their physical condition, get a cancer, they're in church. And it would be real easy for us to go, "Well, they don't go all the time, they don't do this." Folks, they're in church. We need to accept that, enjoy that. And if they come in that one day, take it. That could be your one opportunity to witness to them. Okay? People go to hospital because they're sick. They come to church because they need God. And they walk through that door. We need brothers and sisters in Christ to go, "What can I help you with?" Instead of going, "Well, they haven't been here for the other 10 months. Why they bother to come now?" You're not the judge or the jury. Put the mallet down. Okay? Put it down. So even in trouble, it connects us. It connects us. How easy would it be when someone walked through there and go, "There's another burden. There's more work I got to do. Gosh, the Rams are playing 12:30. I don't have time to sit here and talk." And the whole time, God's given me an opportunity to connect with a person that just walked through the door with a hurting family. But in my little pea brain, I'm thinking, oh, me and my Rams, I get to go watch my sports schedule and blah, blah, blah. And I missed the whole connection. I missed the whole connection. To protect us, number five, a problem can be a blessing in disguise. Anybody ever had any blessings in disguise? Blessing in disguise? I had a girl in high school, I thought I was going to marry her. Yeah, well, it's not my wife either. I was going to marry her. Ran into her years later. What a blessing, I didn't marry her. Woo! There's five other guys who were in love with her too. And they're no longer married to her. I've been married to one for 27 years now. God is good all the time. What a blessing. But during that time with my love blinders on, yep, Ben's the same way. Got you a good one. Hang on to her, Ben. But what a blessing. Read an article, said this gentleman lost his job. Young man with children lost his job. Couldn't make bills. Unemployment was just not covering the bills. His boss asked him to do something unethical, and he goes, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. You're fired. Okay. A year later, the company gets shut down. All of company leadership gets sent to prison. What a blessing. Okay? Because here's the law. If your boss tells you to do something unethical and you're breaking the law, it doesn't matter that it's your boss. If you did the action, you're going to jail. It's irrelevant that you go, well, my boss made me do it. Sorry. Tell that to your cellmate because you're going to jail. And that's the law. And this gentleman stood up for it. What a blessing. What a blessing. Protects us. Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50:20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about his present result, to preserve many people alive. God is the only true protector for us. The only true protector. Number six, to perfect us. Problems when responded to correctly build our character. God wants that relationship with you, and he cares about your character. Do you have a relationship with Christ? Is your character godlike? Is what come out of your mouth, is that what God would say? Is that what he would say? It's all great that you say that with your wife and your children and your church people. How do you respond at work? I'm telling you, I've had people many years ago, man, I'm a great dad. Good. Scoot over, let me ask your children. I'm a great husband. Good. Scoot over, let me ask your wife. That's where we know rubber meets the road and you get the truth. Okay? Truth. To perfect us. Okay? He wants to perfect us. Romans 5:3-4. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, proven character, and hope. David goes to tell us in Psalm 71, verses 19, 21. For your righteous, O God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? No one. You have shown me many troubles and distresses, will revive me again, and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. We find the effect of trouble, okay? Blessing. It can be a benefit. Romans 8:28, Paul tells us, all things work together for the good of God. All things called according to his purposes. For many, the graduate degree of spirituality comes from the University of Hard Knocks. Anybody been to the University of Hard Knocks? You get knocked down. It's the same way in our spirituality, our Christian walk. Young Christians, I'm rolling through. We're happy. You know, we're happy. We got that godly child name tag. Let's go. I'm ready. And then life hits you. Outside the door, how am I going to pay a bill? Insurance. How am I going to pay my employees this week? You know, we got more going out than we have coming in. How are we going to do this? Man, I got a family member that's sick. How are we going to handle this? We're good. Hard Knocks. Next time I encourage you, when you're going through the University of Hard Knocks, put something in your head to go, bzzz, there's something here to learn. There's something to learn. You're not just going to say we are getting through this and God's going to get us through this. What's in it for us? What are we learning? To project us. The surge of trouble focuses on us outward. What's most important? It furthers God's cause. Our purpose gets us back on God's will. I love this. Project us. That's what it, calling us home. Anybody ever backslid? Keep your hands down. I don't know you. I might hold something against you. That's a joke. Backslid. You ever walked away from Christ? Pulled yourself out of your Christian walk? I love this. God, in my troubles, can we say, you know what? Come home. You messed up. You dropped the ball. Come home. Come home. Okay? Philippians 1:12 tells us, now I want you to know, brother, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. For God to make manifest the fact he gives songs in the night, he first had to make the night. Okay? He had to make the night. We're God's creation. What's his purpose for you? What is God's creation? Your creation. What's his purpose for you? Matthew 28:18, the Great Commission. If you're Christian, go make disciples of all nations. Go make disciples of all nations. Awesome. Great. That's what we're all to do. Now the question is, how are you going to do it? Because when we lay that on people and they hear it, but there's no mentorship and they know nothing to do, guess what they go do? Nothing. Nothing. What's your purpose in the will of God? Is it to be the Tom Chitwood of the church, to be out here at 5:30 in the morning when it's still dark, to be a door greeter Sunday morning? That's how passionate he is. You know? And church don't open until 8:30. Tom's out there ready. To be an usher. To be the custodian. To lead a ministry. What's your purpose? Because I'm going to tell you, God has called me different than he's called you to do it. You're not to be an imitator of me. I'm not to be an imitator of you. What did God call you to do? Where does God want you to be? Because he's not calling you just to come to church and hear a message. Okay? I hate to break that to you, but that's not what God does. If you're a child of God, you have a place and a responsibility somewhere. And he wants to use you. And if he's not using you for something, there's a disconnect. There is a disconnect right there. How about future deacons? More ushers. I know there's a whole lot of people in this church that can sing. And I'm not telling you to go join. Okay? I'm not telling you to go get involved with Nate. I know Nate's hard to work with. I understand that. It's like pulling teeth from a rhino. I get it. Okay? I work with Nate too. I'm just kidding. Nate's a great guy. But I'm telling you, where's God calling you? And here's the thing. I know without a doubt, 100% with a fact, that if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You're not guessing when he's speaking to you. You're not guessing what he's speaking. You're just making that decision, do I listen to what God has for me? Do I listen where he's steering me, where he wants me? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. But he does want you. He absolutely wants you. Anybody ever heard of an eagle? You know, wings? Eagles? There was a song, but I wasn't about to sing it. No way. An eagle. Everybody know a lot, anything about eagles? Eagles are highly intelligent animals. Eagles know when a storm's coming before Dave Murray. Okay? Well before Dave Murray and his pretty tie, the eagle knows when a storm's coming. The eagle launches and goes high, and when the storm comes through, the eagle gets on board and just flies high above the storm. Fly for a long time. Storm's gone, the eagle comes down. The eagle uses the storm to its advantage. How come we decide to face storms alone? Why can't we be like the eagle? We have a God that can take us higher than any storm could lift us. A God that can take us same distance as the eagle. So why do we choose to battle every stinking fight that comes along without God? Every issue without God? Because a lot of times we don't come to God until we finally figured it out, man. Three strikes, I'm out. I got to come here because I don't have no other options. How about coming here to the person that can give us many options? The person that can take care of us. The person that can do it. Soar above it. The storms do not have to overcome us. The problems do not have to overcome us. Why are you telling us this today, Carl? Because you know what? The storms and the problems and the issues are what keeps you out of church. Because we're in a world today, we're in a culture today that says, Anthony, I can't be real with you and I can't tell you really what's going on in my life. Because you may judge me, friend. I can't be honest. So I've got all these issues and all these things that I can't deal with. So I stay home. Because I go, you know what? I'm guilty. I'm the one that sinned. I'm the one that messed up. I'm the one that caused the whole problem. So I stay out of church. I stay out of Sunday school. Pretty soon I start seeing y'all at Walmart. As soon as I seen you, I'm jumping another aisle. Because I don't want to talk to you. You know? Then it gets worse. You look up as a Baptist, you go, crap, it's the beer aisle. I'm telling you, Satan will beat you down. You know? Beat you down. We need to be more like the eagle. It's not the burdens of life that weigh us down. It's who you let handle them. It's not who you are sitting here. It's whom's you are. Whom's are you? You're the son of a king. If you're a Christian, you're the son of the king. You're a daughter of a king. Act like it. That should sink in with each one of us to make a difference if we claim to be the son or daughter of Christ. Isaiah 40:31, yet who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. God is at work in your life, even when you do not recognize it, you do not understand it. He's in a storm with us. He's calling you to rise above it. Be the water walker, not the boat person. James 1:12 tells us, blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Trouble prepares us. When Adam and Eve were in trouble, God stepped in and met their need. Noah's problems were solved by God who cared. Joseph was released from prison. Children of Israel were delivered as soon as they crossed the Red Sea. Elijah got help in getting some rain. Paul and Silas were set free in a Philippian jail. Now, how many of you sit here and think that they really saw an end when they were there? Because we say they are like us in human form. I don't know how much different their brains were then than they were now. Okay? So do you think they were going through this? I think Ephesians talks about Paul had some weariness, had some doubt, had a lot. Our problems were solved. Nate, if you want to come down, buddy. God's saving hand is in motion in the world today, longing to touch and heal broken lives, believers, and those in need him. Okay? Need him. Nate's going to play some music. If you want to come over, I encourage you to come up here and pray. But you can also pray right where you're at. If you have no problems, awesome. I doubt it. But I think you do have somebody you have problems. If not, I'm sure you can think of somebody that's going through a struggle right now, going through a problem, going through an issue. By the way, who couldn't use your prayer? Who could not use your prayer? I mean, I need prayer and you need practice. So that's a win-win for both of us. Okay? I'll take all your prayers and you can take all the practice. Nothing wrong with that. You got an opportunity to come up. Or you can choose to stand there and bang your head against that wall that you have no control over, over that situation that you have no control over. You can choose to sit where you're at and go, I hope time changes this. I hope time does something here. But I think as we find out, time doesn't take away issues. Time doesn't take away problems. We have to address them. And as we said in the beginning, prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the answer to God. And God will take care of us. If you're a child of God, you claim to believe that, then it's time to put some practicality to it. It's time to put your feet under you on some solid ground and come to Christ. Nobody here needs to know your issues. Nobody here needs to know your problems. God knows them. But there's people here that would love to pray with you. Love to pray with you and help you.